Chapter 7. "You found a medic?" Cutup asks, just a little too loud to be subtle. "I thought you said you were going to get a medical droid." Granta looks up, brow rising, because that's not what Cutup told him. "Keep your voice down," Heavy says, annoyed. He, Granta notes with amusement, doesn't lower his voice all that much. "I was going to snag a droid, but he heard me asking and insisted. He's in the captain's personal squad. I couldn't say no." Cutup makes a sound of frustration. If he sees droid bait, once we aim him at Granta, he's going to be too distracted to notice anything else. Granta snorts, but he listens to the clump of their steps retreat, heavy in the way of bodies accustomed to armor, and then returns a moment later, accompanied by another set, even firmer on the decking. There's the thump of a fist against the door, and without waiting for an answer, it slides open, admitting Heavy and another clone with armor marked in blue, a medkit on his back. He has his helmet off, and his hair is shaved short, carefully done with lightning bolts and a stark tattoo curving around his skull. "The only good droid is a dead droid," Granta thinks, amused, and cocks his head. Now that's an interesting sentiment to wear so proudly. Maybe they have some things in common. "Should you be sitting up?" Heavy asks, frowning. "I'm reclining," Granta counters, hardly vertical at all. He deliberately closes the pad he was using, because it's easier than explaining why he's attempting to dig his way into Kamino's systems to find Tup, Jax, and Colt, and offers the medic a perfectly polished smile. "Good morning." "Morning," the medic says, faintly bemused. He deftly steers Heavy 3 steps to the side, right up against the far wall of the tiny bunk room, and swings his kit down, undoing the clasps with practice speed. "I'm Kix, the CMO of Torrent Company. Heavy said you have a fever and were having trouble with muscle weakness." Granta tips his head, then glances at Heavy. Instantly, Heavy grimaces, but slides out the door, closing it behind him, and Granta tells Kix, "I'm Granta. You may have to help me get my shirt off. My apologies." "Easier than armor," Kix says with a smile, and moves to get the closures. He's halfway down when his fingers falter. "Part of the problem," Granta says, a little rueful, as light as he can make it. "The ones who had me weren't as careful as they could have been, I believe." "Clearly," Kix says, and some of the lightness is gone, edged into steadiness. He helps Granta strip off the shirt, then lie down on the thin mattress, and frowns, eyes flickering over the clear, repeated scars from too many surgeries. "When was the last time?" "A little under 2 weeks." Granta grimaces at the careful prod of fingers and admits, "I may have made it worse. Rishi Station was unexpected." That, at least, makes Kix snort quietly. "The captain mentioned that," he says, "but he said you helped save a whole squad of shinies, too." "The captain." Granta raises a brow. Clearly, Kix overhearing Heavy was less chance and more conspiracy. "Captain Rex told you. Did he also tell you to come down and see me?" Kix casts him a quick, faintly abashed smile. "I was packing my kit when Heavy came in. Any other symptoms?" Granta snorts, then winces as Kix's gentle touch hits a particularly sensitive spot. "Oh, ow. Vertigo, double vision, and an inability to shoot straight because my hands won't stop shaking." Kix makes a vaguely sympathetic but distracted noise, turning to pick up his scanner and a hypo. He hesitates over Granta's arms for a moment, then smoothly keeps moving, pressing the hypo to his throat to draw a bit of blood. "Any trouble breathing?" Granta carefully holds still, keeping his gaze on the dull steel of the wall. It's a delightful difference from the sterile white his brain half expects. "None so far. I just feel woefully out of shape, like I've run several dozen kilometers right after waking up." "Your muscle definition and density seem fine, and you're fit." Kix frowns at the readings. Has the fever been steady since the... He trails off, clearly struggling to figure out what to call it. Session, Granta replies, droll. It was worse for the first week, and then I thought it broke, but I may have been mistaken. Maybe, Kix says, faintly amused. He pulls back, reaching for his kit again, and picks several hypos out of their neat cases. I'm going to run some tests up in the main med bay, but this should help in the meantime, at least with the muscle weakness and fever. He pauses, glancing up at Granta, and his gaze is serious. I assume you want to avoid coming to the bay for in-depth scans. Granta breathes out, wants to look away, avoid the implications, but he can't. Preferably, not to the point of self-injury, though. Kix nods, accepting that easily, and leans in, pressing the hypo to Granta's throat. The pinch of the injection makes Granta wince, but he holds still for the next one as well, simply glad Kix is avoiding his wrists. They're scarred enough. Those will make you sleep for a while, but they should help, he says quietly, sitting back on his heels, and offers Granta a crooked smile. Things are probably going to be busy for a bit, but I'll leave extra cartridges of these with you, and one of the dominoes can help you administer them. Not before 12 hours from now, though. As soon as I get the chance, I'll come back and see what else I can do. Thank you, Granta says, and when he struggles to push up, Kix immediately reaches out to help him, tugging his shirt back up and over his arms. The hypos should be enough to at least get him through the battle. If he has to overlap doses, well, he'll be taking droid bait to a medical facility directly after this, and he can check himself in once he's there, too. I assume I'm not allowed to take a walk. Kix hesitates, then sighs, rubbing a hand over his short hair. You shouldn't, he says, pointed. But if you're really going stir-crazy, around the hangar is fine. But the second you feel any sort of shakiness, lie down again. Pushing yourself too hard isn't a good idea. You're... He hesitates, then takes a breath through his nose, lips thin. Your injuries might be infected. Granta wouldn't put it past the Kaminoans to have tried to kill him slowly like that. They tested his immune system enough times to make it a predictable thing, as they push to find out what physically made him different. The answer is likely in the files Tup gave him. Granta hasn't had the stomach to read through all of them yet. Much appreciated, Kix, he says lightly, and lets his head fall back. Good luck with what's coming. The slant of Kix's smile is rueful as he packs up his kit again. Thanks, we'll be fine, I know it. Torrent doesn't back down, and Kamino's on the line. If Kamino falls, the Republic does too, and we won't let that happen. Clones will really be the death of him, Granta thinks. Kix slips out without looking back, shouldering his pack, but his footsteps don't move away from the door as it closes. There's a rustle, the sound of plastoid armor moving, and then Kix asks, low, perfectly even, who tortured him? He hasn't said, Heavy answers, just as quiet. Bad. His incisions were treated with Bacta. To get scars like that anyway, they would have had to be made in the same place hundreds of times. Kix is silent for a moment. The needle marks in his arms, he fought it. Often, probably. It was torture. Granta closes his eyes, grim amusement rising as he finally allows a tremor that has nothing to do with muscle weakness to shake through him. Is it torture for a scientist to experiment on a mouse? That's all he was, to the Kaminoans, the Sith. A special mouse, with special mouse abilities, but nothing more. He's going to kill Dooku for it. He'll cut the old man's throat and put a boot on his chest as he bleeds out, and best of all, Dooku will never even see him coming. There's a long, long silence out in the hall, and then Heavy asks, is it just side effects? Probably, Kix says. He needs several weeks of recuperation. If he was my patient, I'd put him on bed rest for at least a month. It should be fine, Heavy says after a second. Once the fight's over, he'll be leaving. Granta breathes in, then out with the same careful slowness, like a physical reminder that he has to. He should leave straight to an actual doctor, and if he could fly, I'd tell him to go right now, Kix says bluntly. The captain said he saved your squad, but... He's a civilian. He shouldn't be here. If he were a Jedi or something, it would be different, but he's not. I wanted my son to be strong, and he may as well be a hologram. The mattress is too thin. It seems as though Granta can feel every uncomfortable metal inch of the bed pressing up into his spine. Breathing is hard through that discomfort. He should have mentioned that to Kix, but it's too late now. The silence stretches, longer and longer, and then Heavy says, quiet but flat, "We'll take care of it." It sounds, Granta thinks, half there as heaviness takes him, like, "We'll take care of him," and he doesn't know entirely how Heavy means it. Care or threat, and the words are the same for both, but the meaning is vastly different. He slides down into sleep with a chill in his limbs that has nothing to do with fever, and a desperate beat in the back of his head that's been blessedly quiet since the moment he heard of Xanatos' suicide. It feels like, not again, and the metal-sharp fear of that thought follows him deep into unsettled dreams. There's a strange, discordant edge to everything, something Granta can't put down to the breathless sort of tension that comes along with waiting for Grievous to fall on Kamino with his armies. It's an itch right beneath his skin from the moment he wakes that eats away at the pit of his stomach and seals itself to his spine, and it isn't solely from watching his sons put on their armor and gear up. He sits out in the hangar of the cruiser, close to one of the transports loaded with ammunition, his back to a crate as he watches the preparations. Heavy, a munitions officer, and a clone who looks to be around Rex's age, are seated on the edge of another ship, playing sabacc with tattered cards and failing badly in the face of the munition officer's cutthroat cheer, and Cutup and Echo are cleaning their blasters on the other side of it, heads bent together. Part of Granta wants to go over, take a seat near them, but even if the 501st's Jedi General is down on Kamino right now, her Padawan and Captain Rex with her, and no one will remember Granta's face, it seems like inviting trouble to be so visible. His own ship is tucked out of the way and it's still surrounded by crates, by movement, by pilots and bodies in motion, which is good for hiding, but it's the most people Granta has seen in years, and just watching all of them is already enough. Quiet, low, his calm chimes, and Granta glances down at it, frowning. It is, technically, the ship's calm, rerouted through a transceiver, but it serves its function well enough. Hunty's message is clear, a confirmation that he secured a doctor known for keeping her mouth shut and Bacta tank. The Bacta itself is rather harder to find, and Granta's eyes narrow as he weighs his options. All Bacta is in short supply right now given the war, and he doesn't want to target a Gar medical transport when that will kill clones, but he cocks his head, a thought rising. Hondo's territory takes up a wide swath of Separatist space, and he's always eager to make himself a nuisance to anyone and everyone. Granta doesn't have to worry about him being in prison either. If the galaxy ends in a massive explosion, the only thing left standing will be the black holes in the deep core, and Hondo, wherever he chooses to be. Pleased with his plan, he sends his orders back to Hunty, informing him of how to contact Hondo through his old channels and what offers to make, and then checks the layout Hunty sent him again. The base is a decent one, and it will likely need some renovations to be up to Granta's standards, but that's fine. There's quite a lot of dust he needs to shake off practically everywhere, and the new base is no different. Hunty's confirmation comes a moment later, along with recommendation for another hire to help with the work. Granta opens the file, flipping through it carefully, but the woman seems like a decent enough choice. She's a well-known bounty hunter with a record of loyalty to her employers, even when the odds are bad. And that's far more important to Granta than a desire to succeed in every mission. He agrees, and after a long handful of minutes, Hunty sends back confirmation that she's agreed to Granta's standard contract. Things are moving along well enough out in the galaxy. It's hard to believe that on the planet below, a war is about to take place. Granta steals another glance at the transport closest to him, checks that there's still a space behind the loaded crates that will fit him, and then tugs his hood a little further forward. As soon as Grievous's fleet passes the edge of the system, the troops waiting here will be sent to the planet as the cruisers move to defend, and Granta has no intention of remaining aboard. There's a thump of plastoid armor against metal, and Granta glances back, offering Fives a smile as he slides down to sit on the crate next to Granta. "Not up for a riveting game of sabacc?" he asks lightly, and Fives snorts. Heavy just bet Hardcase a week's worth of meal rations, and Hardcase looked like he was about to eat him whole, he says dryly. "I'm not that stupid." Granta chuckles, closing his pad and leaning back. Fives' knee is right against his shoulder, and he doesn't seem to be in any hurry to move. "A lesson in real time," he says. "It's always the ones who look the most harmless that you have to look out for, particularly at a card table." Echo keeps looking over. "I think he's about to jump in," Fives says cheerfully. A moment later, he slides down, sprawling next to Granta on the ground, and asks, "Did Kix help? I can help you get back to the ship if you need to lie down again." "He did," Granta says lightly. "And I'm not out here because I can't get back. Staring at the wall was boring me to pieces, and I can only brush my hair so many times before I start wanting to throw things." Fives snorts, stretching out his legs. He's added paint in the hour or so he's been out of sight, stripes of blue down his arms and wide sweeps of it across his helmet. The helmet paint looks like an eel, jaws stretched wide, and Granta studies it, wondering why Fives picked that of all things. Honoring the narrow escape, maybe? He considers asking, "Why do you always hide your hair, if it means so much?" Fives asks, before he can even open his mouth. He reaches out, beneath the oversized hood of Granta's jacket, and touches a lock of hair where it's escaped from its tie, falling free over Granta's shoulder, instead of tucked under his jacket with the rest. Granta snorts. "It's less hiding it and more keeping it out of the way," he says dryly. "I don't have any hair ties with me, and leaving it loose in a fight is asking for trouble. I'm brilliant, but even I can't see with a face full of hair." Fives snickers, letting the lock slip through his fingers. His gaze is curious, though, faintly hesitant, and when Granta raises a brow at him, he winces and asks, "Just, you were being experimented on, right? I'm surprised the Kaminoans didn't cut it off." Granta doesn't let his breath shudder, just hums, eyes on the floor before them. "Oh, they did, the first few years," he says, and it's not hard to keep his voice light. It's almost funny, honestly. "Shaved it right off at least 3 times. But I suppose I got tired of them taking even one more thing from me, so I rather lost my temper. I killed one of them, and when that didn't deter them, I tried to kill myself." He smirks, tipping his head back against the crate. "They weren't willing to risk losing a valuable specimen like myself enough to push, so I grew it out again, and Colt stole a hairbrush for me. He's a decent thief when he applies himself, you know." Fives' shoulder settles against his, firm, with pressure behind it, and he hesitates for a long moment before he says, "It looks good. I like it." Something curls in Granta's chest, blunting the edges of the unsettled feeling that's persisted since he woke. Warmth and, well, Xanatos took it as his due. Chira had thought it was impractical. No one has ever said they liked his hair. "Thank you, Fives," he says softly, and tugs at the stray lock, then forces himself to let go. "I'll admit I'm not one for following millennia-old tradition simply because it's there, but this one I don't mind so much." "Why is it a tradition?" Fives asks, glancing at Granta. "On Telos, right?" Granta hums in confirmation. "It's considered a bridge," he says, "a tie between the past and the present. The longer the strands, the clearer one's respect for where one came from, and their willingness to honor the past, their parents, their ancestors, their world." He pauses, and it's been a very long time since he thought of it, but the memory makes him smile. "There's a folktale my mother used to tell me. A man lost his whole clan, and in his desperation to get them back, he grew his hair out to incredible lengths. Then he took the strands and wove a bridge, and walked along it back to the past. When he arrived, he turned around and brought his whole clan forward with him, right before the disaster would have taken their lives." There's a long pause as Fives considers that. Then, deliberate, he wrinkles his nose and says, "That doesn't exactly sound practical." Granta barks out a laugh, the sound startled right out of him. He leans his shoulder more firmly against Fives's, tips his head to rest their temples together, and closes his eyes, not able to fight his smile. "That's exactly what I told my mother," he says, to the word. Fives is smiling too, so bright, so delighted, and he curls his fingers around Granta's wrist, tight. It doesn't. How would you even walk on a bridge made of hair? With a quiet snort, Granta bumps their skulls together, lightly. Exactly. The structural problems alone are legion. He breathes for a moment and... his whole chest feels warm, but that faint unsteadiness, that persistent unease, it's right beneath the surface, tight in his throat. Maybe that's what drives him to say, "Fives, after this fight, after this, I want to take all of you away with me." Fives goes still against him, even as his fingers curl tighter. "There's a place for us," Granta says, keeps it low and steady despite the way his heartbeat is picking up. "I have it ready, far from any battlefield. Or if it's truly what you want, I can come for you after you've finished ARC training, when you've deployed, but it will be safe with me. You'll have everything you could ever want." His heartbeat is loud in his ears, and it feels like the only sound is the wide, noisy bay. Fives is still breathlessly still, frozen against him, and Granta sorts through every enticement he could offer, tries to match it to what Fives could want. Surely there's something. Surely Fives has a want. Surely all of his sons do. "We don't want to become ARCs just to finish the program," Fives says finally, and Granta turns his head, waiting. "This is... we want to be ARCs so we're able to protect each other better," Fives says, and it's rough, just a little angry. Granta's breath tangles up in his throat in a painful knot, and Fives pulls away, reaches for his helmet as he gets to his feet. He's not looking at Granta, and Granta wants to grab him, to make him. Not just Domino. All the clones. We're brothers in arms. We're clones. We're all the same. "Fives," Granta starts, and he's on his feet as well before he can even think of it, takes a step after Fives as he pulls his helmet on.
"We can't leave,"
Fives says, and it's not the muscle weakness that makes Granta's whole world lurch.
We have 1,000 reasons not to."
"The boy has ruined all of my plans. I won't be staying any longer. There's no use." "Xanatos! Enough, Chira. There's nothing here that serves my purpose." It's an old memory. It doesn't matter. But even so, it burns like a brand beneath Granta's sternum, wholly inescapable, an echo. Sudden, ear-piercing, loud enough to shatter the bubble of fraught tense silence wrapped around them, an alarm blares. Fives' head snaps up, and he takes off at a run without looking back. There are shouts rising, running feet as troopers leap for their transports, and Granta jerks back before a man can clip him, collides with the side of the crate. Echo and Cutup and Heavy are on their feet, Hardcase reaching out, and Fives catches his hand, leaps up into the transport as the doors slide shut, and vanishes behind cold steel. There's more shouting close by. Clones are leaping into the cockpit of the supply transport, moving slower than the LAATs that are already taking off, but still quick. Granta stares at the dark space behind the crates that have been loaded, and knows that he should move, but... his ears are ringing. The muscle weakness is back, even though the dose of medication Kix gave him should still be working. His legs don't want to move, and it's even worse than that moment on Rishi's moon, when his body finally gave out. It feels worse, wretched and crawling and vicious, eating its way through his bones. "We can't leave. We have 1,000 reasons not to. I won't be staying any longer. There's no use." Maybe, Granta thinks, it's Xanatos' blood that makes his sons react that way. Maybe they see what Xanatos did all those years ago. Or they don't see. Granta doesn't exist in the Force. Not really. He thinks, he breathes, he moves, but he's a tool, an instrument, not a person like other people are. That's why people look past him, don't recall him. He thought he was keeping those abilities locked down, contained as best he knows how, but, he thinks, and digs his nails into his palms, trying to remember how it feels to take a breath.
"Come on, Korik,"
one of the clones in the cockpit of the transport calls, impatient, and a shoulder jars Granta's, almost knocks him over as a clone with a medkit passes him, leaps up among the crates and pushes forward to catch a strap up near the seats. Granta takes a step automatically, feels the motion like a reminder that he can move, and crosses the distance between himself and the ship in a few long strides. The pilots and the medic are preoccupied, and he hauls himself in, turns, slips back among the crates, and slides down the wall, breathing carefully. It's going to be dangerous during the fighting. Granta's sons will be in the midst of it. If he can keep them safe in any way at all, he has to.
Serve your father well, Granta. We were made for him, my sweet.
Granta's always been a tool. A tool exists for a purpose. Granta lost his, when Dooku took him, when his revenge against the Jedi was unraveled by a moment of weakness, of hope. But this is purpose, too. Granta's blood is down there. He'll keep them alive. End of chapter 7.